Everyone, and hello, Bonk.
Hello there, Daniel.
Hi, welcome to Panning the Stream.
Hiya.
I didn't mean to do it like that. This is our podcast. This is Panning the Stream.
This is that. The podcast time.
It is, and we're doing the thing we do. We're talking about stuff.
Are you just describing what a podcast is?
I started second-guessing myself as I started talking because I was about to introduce the thing we watched, but then I think that was going too quickly into, the meat.
Yeah, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. What's going on with you?
Let's give him something to talk about.
Like what?
Like love?
I think, did we go on a love thing for the Valentine's episode? We did the intolerable cruelty.
Well, I think this podcast being hosted by married couple, you and me.
It's inherently.
There's an essence of love to everything we do.
It's true. That's a very sweet thing to say.
Thanks.
Yes. And in the theme of love, this week we're watching, no, it's still too early. Still too early. What
well,
else?
They know if they clicked on it.
I know.
We can. All right, let's talk about something else. That Nespresso machine I have is so awesome.
Oh, yeah?
I love my Nespresso machine.
You can make coffee anytime you want.
Not only does it make coffee, but it makes coffee with this wonderful foam layer on top.
Yeah?
And let me tell you about this foam layer. It's creamy. It imbues a level of quality that I would not ordinarily get from a plain old coffee machine at home. George Clooney is the spokesperson. I hear there's some child labor issues going on with the Nespresso stuff right now.
Okay.
Which gives me pause. But, you know, what is one woman going to do about that? There's not much I could do.
Storm the factory.
And frankly, the coffee is so delicious.
Yeah.
But George Clooney took a stand. So I think his efforts will be far more impactful than mine. As you know, he is the spokesperson for Nespresso. He's in all those commercials.
I did not know that, actually.
Yes, it's a George Clooney quality coffee is what I would say.
Okay.
Maybe other coffee makers are more of like a Josh Gad quality.
Okay.
But this is
so weird.
This is George Clooney quality.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, we've spoken about Mr. Clooney on this podcast before, and yeah, I think we both approve of Mr. Clooney.
Yeah, he's got a little button nose, that guy.
A little button nose?
Yeah, his nose is real small. It's a little wee little nose.
Oh, I've never heard you talk about his nose.
I don't think I've ever talked about it either, but I thought about it at length.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I notice people's noses. As Amanda, my family, we're known for our robust noses.
You notice faces.
Being from
a lot.
The Naples region of Italy, we are genetically predisposed to having extraordinarily large honkers. Schnozzes,
honkers?
If you will.
Don't get all medical here.
I feel like our noses are a unique identifier. I can spot Amanda from across the room.
Okay.
But because of our, let's say, advanced noses, I'm acutely aware of other people's noses. So if someone has a really cute button nose, I take stock of that. I'm often envious. I often seethe with rage that I was not blessed with as cute a button nose as some other people. But at times, I appreciate my schnoz.
I'm a big fan of your schnoz.
And the character that it gives my large and mushy face.
You think about your face a lot?
Not really.
No?
Sometimes if I'm like on my computer doing work or whatever, I work from home, so I like don't have any reason to put makeup on, and I'll just go into portrait mode on my camera and just take a picture of my face just to like be like, oh, I'm so terrible. I look terrible today.
What?
Yeah.
I like it when you send me pictures of the selfie mode and you do something with your face to make me laugh.
I will like to take pictures of myself if I'm being really silly. I never really try to take pictures of myself like sexy, like some people try to take sexy pictures.
You're not
I mean?
The like Instagram selfie pose. That's not your bag.
No, there's a subreddit that's like pictures of pretty girls, like making pretty girl face, and then the other half of the image will be them making a crazy distorted face. Like all my pictures are just the crazy distorted face.
Okay,
I don't like doing normal.
Well, you're having fun.
Normal faces, yeah. I don't want to. I feel like if I dip my toe into the idea that like, oh, maybe I am pretty in this picture, then I'm opening myself up to the fact that the harsh reality that I'm really not that. So if I keep it silly, you know what I mean?
Boy.
Then I avoid any of that shame.
This is a deep thing here, talking about the nature of self-concept and social media and man.
Well, you know what? Nowadays, it's just commonplace to take selfies. I remember when, you know, when I was in my early 20s, like, people weren't taking selfies as much, but occasionally you'd have these, like, people that would just be taking pictures of themselves all the time.
Oh, right.
And your first thought would be like, this person is an egomaniac. Now it's commonplace, although I still believe that it's pretty egomaniacal to be constantly taking pictures of yourself, but now it's more commonplace.
It's extremely commonplace, but yeah, I at no point have I ever like wanted to take a selfie or had any interest in like I've never even taken them. I can't post them if I'm not taking them. So
on a rare occasion in which I'm feeling like confident, I'll take a picture of myself.
Yeah.
And usually I will send that to you.
Yeah. I like when you do that.
But that's not often. But yeah, throw RoboCop.
Huh?
FroboCop.
FroboCop? It's FroYoBoCop. It's the frozen yogurt robot cop. Yes. No, RoboCop. Boy, wouldn't it be a bummer if we announced that and then we were just talking about the new one? Like the remake?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the case, though.
Talking about FroYo. Instead of the movie, because that would be a very subversive, which is exactly what this movie was for me.
I pulled that out, man. Jeez, the car was going off the cliff, and you pulled the steering wheel the other way, and now you're cruising down the highway.
Remember that episode of Nathan For You where he gives that frozen yogurt?
The poop thing?
The poop flavored yogurt.
I think that's the first episode, maybe.
That
and
is
it's like,
the first
this show's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Poop flavored yogurt.
RoboCop. Is RoboCop. The film that we watched.
Do you think poop tastes differently depending on what you ate? Or do you think there's always just a poop
flavor? Wait, you're talking about your own poop?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, people, you're eating different things all the time.
Do you think it's dependent on what it was before it was poop?
Yeah, or if just poop just always tastes like just straight up poop.
I'm sure it's always bad, but like,
I'm 100% sure it's terrible.
I mean, if I ate like 20 KFC Famous Bowls, I think my poop would be quite different than if I just ate like 100 bananas. Right.
Yeah, those would be very different poops.
Yeah, exactly. So there's the answer to your question.
But I'm talking about taste, obviously.
No, I think, yes, that it would be different,
all
right?
I'm confident we can move on from this conversation of eating
you
poop.
You started it.
I know, and I'm bringing it to its conclusion.
I'm yes-anding you here.
I'm satisfied in how that went, and I'm ready to move on to discussing the film.
All right, we hit the quota, and now we're on to RoboCop.
I'm ready for the film.
Film,
which is why everyone's here.
The film RoboCop by Paul Verhoeven. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I always get Paul Verhoeven and whoever did The Fly mixed up because I know both of them are supposed to be really good, but I don't think I've seen many of either of their movies. So I'm going to look up The Fly here with Mr. Jeff Goldblum. Have you've seen that, right?
Yes, I watched it a lot as a kid.
I've heard it's terrifying, isn't it?
I remember not being terrified, but more just kind of grossed out because there's a lot of
body horror.
Yeah, a lot of body horror stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, David Cronenberg. Right, that's the guy. That's
David
the body
Cronenberg.
Horror guy.
His movies are fucking awesome.
What else has he done here? I love how we're talking about RoboCop, then we're talking about a different director in
he
movies.
He did that movie
The Fly.
That I love with the two gynecologists. What the fuck is his name of that? David Cronenberg.
I'm looking at his
Jeremy
business
Irons.
Here. The Italian. Oh, I'm thinking of The Italian Job. This is The Italian Machine. That's a TV show. The Brood, Scanners, Videodrome, The Dead Zone.
Dead Ringers is the name of the movie.
Dead
it's
Ringers.
Awesome.
Okay.
And he also did Drive, which is a movie that, or Crash. Crash or Drive? Yeah, Crash. And that's a movie that I want to see so bad, but I've just not, like, they didn't have, when I was looking for it before, they didn't have it on Amazon, even to pay for it.
You're talking about the old mid-90s one.
Yeah, about
the NC-17 one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. I remember that being a hot topic in the entertainment weeklies of the mid-90s that I subscribed to.
Yeah, I really want to see that movie, but I haven't gotten the opportunity to do so yet. But yeah, Cronenberg's awesome, and so is Paul Verhoeven.
Yes, who also did Starship Troopers.
Total Recall as well.
And Total Recall, yes. I feel like there's a common theme with the movies of his that I've seen, which I think are the three we just said, in that when I first saw them, was too dumb to understand what the hell was going on. Because I think I saw Starship Troopers, and I didn't realize that there was this whole, like, satire of kind of the war machine and all that stuff and propaganda. And I just thought it was an okay action movie.
Mm.
RoboCop, the first time I saw that, and I think the only time I saw it, which is why I felt comfortable doing it for this, is because I think I was in college, and I was either A, drunk, B, stupid and didn't understand the themes and what was going on, or C, like distracted and half watching it, or some combination of all those things.
Uh-huh.
Because I really don't remember, like, the way people talk about RoboCop is with a certain reverence that, like, I remember thinking, like, huh, I think I missed all that when right. I watched it.
From my point of view, I feel like I've seen little pieces of RoboCop when I was a kid. But in my mind, it was just like a big dumb action movie. And it was just like, oh, people love RoboCop because it's so silly. The idea of just a RoboCop. And they're leaning into it so hard with this fucking RoboCop guy. I just thought it was like going to be a silly, campy 80s action movie. I had no idea that it was this like kind of satire of corporations and media and, you know, privatization and all this stuff. I had no idea it was like that. It was so much deeper than I thought it would be. And much like Cable Guy, it's one of those things that, like, I've just been putting off watching it, and I'm so glad that I finally watched it.
Yeah, I distinctly remember maybe a year and a half ago, we weren't talking about it for the podcast, but I bought it on Blu-ray, because mm-hmm. I've always told myself,
this was more than a year and a half ago.
Might have been, a few years ago. But I remember I bought it thinking, like, man, I feel like I don't appreciate RoboCop the way I should, so I'm going to buy this. And one night, we were just looking for something to watch, maybe before we even had the podcast, and you were like, I'm in the mood for something good. Let's watch a good movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, we could do RoboCop. And you, like, sarcastically was like, oh, yeah, let's watch a good movie, like RoboCop.
Yeah, well, I'm really dumb.
No. You just, I totally understand where you're coming from, because, again, if you haven't heard much about mm-hmm. it, it's called RoboCop, and it's about a cop that's a robot. It sounds like some, like, oh, yeah, it's like an ironic thing to like. It's like the dumb robot cop movie.
Yeah, and two, like, the only parts I had seen from the movie were just, like, pieces of the action sequence. But apparently I'm not alone, because Paul Verhoeven himself, when he saw the script, he threw it away after a few pages, thinking that it was just similar to me, thinking that it was a big dumb action movie and he didn't want a part of it. And it wasn't until his wife picked it out of the trash bin, apparently, and she was like, no, after she read it, she was like, you should do this. It's really deep. It's got a lot of layers and symbolism and all this stuff.
The script itself is really smart, mm-hmm. But it seems like Verhoeven put in a lot of stuff that really adds to that overall feel. Like, so I was reading about how it got an X rating, like, 11 times from the MPAA before they whittled it down to an R. And so to, like, distract from, like, the really just, like, gruesome violence and stuff, he added in the commercials mm-hmm. as, like, this, like, kind of lighthearted satire thing to distract the MPAA right. and hopefully soften the rating.
Right.
But, like, the commercials super add to the whole, like, theme and feel of the movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, there are the commercials. There's that stupid show that you see everyone watching.
That news show?
Well, there's a news show. But there's also that, like, weird sitcom show where the guy's like, I'll buy that for $1.
Yes.
And, like, everyone is watching it and everyone thinks it's hilarious. And I think that kind of showcases how, you know, the version of society that's depicted in this movie is, like, incredibly dumb and just brainwashed and, like, lowest common denominator. But also the commercials that you're talking about, the way it's like, the way they're put out, like, in contrast to the news, the news anchors will just be describing, like, the most horrific, like, war, like, countries at war.
A satellite weapon, accidentally fired on a nation and yeah. everything's on fire.
And they do it just as, like, lackadaisically as, like, a news anchor would report on, like, oh, a new traffic lights or new speeding traffic lights installed at this intersection, whatever. Like, just so casual.
Yeah.
And then it's just like they immediately cut to these really silly commercial breaks where they're like satirizing nuclear war and stuff. Like, nuclear war has become a board game for kids
yeah,
to enjoy.
Yeah, nuke 'em.
Yeah, because it's like so commonplace in this world now.
Yeah, it's almost like an Idiocracy thing. Have you seen Idiocracy?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, they're doing like Ow My Balls and stuff, but this one is like, I'd buy that for a dollar. Mm-hmm. They only show bits and pieces of it, but it always seems like the dumbest possible thing. It's always like four scantily clad, like mid-20s women, like, with, like,
wearing
a boob,
lingerie.
Yeah, lingerie with, like, a boob cake, and it gets, like, splattered on one, and then this old guy, like, you know, mugging for the camera, and going, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, the last shot of it, every time they show it, is just this old guy, like, right next to a pair of boobs saying, like, I'll buy that for a dollar. Yeah.
And everyone's just looking at it and laughing uproariously, like, the second they see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that stuff adds to it a ton. And so I heard that, so he wanted it to be, like, comically violent, mm-hmm. Verhoeven did. And it, weirdly enough, made me think of MacGruber, because there's a scene, definitely one of the, like, three best scenes in the movie, early on when they're showing up, Ed 209, mm-hmm. which is, like, there's this huge, like, security firm, or it's this corporation that basically sells weapons to the police. It's like almost like a PMC type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this giant robot, Ed 209, which uses stop motion animation, which looks awesome. I love it. It looks fake. I mean, it's definitely stop motion, but I just like that. I prefer that to shitty CG
sure.
any day of the week.
Of course.
I know that's not a controversial opinion. But so when it kills the guy, when it says like, oh yeah, we're going to demonstrate this thing, pull a gun. Like, oh, you've got 20 seconds to comply. Don't, you know, drop the gun.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't register and it shoots him so incredibly violently.
Yeah.
And so Verhoeven wanted that to be like comically over the top and just shoot and shoot and shoot. And then because the line afterwards is somebody's like, somebody want to call a paramedic? And it's the exact, like, somebody call 911.
Yeah.
It's just that, like, oh, they're super duper dead.
Right.
But something about the way violence is presented in this, it's like these meaty, like, Gears of War, like, there's, like chunks flying off,
right.
You know?
And everyone gets, whenever someone gets shot in this movie, they get shot so many times. Like, even non-fatal injuries, or, like, Nancy Allen at one point gets shot a bunch of times. I mean, she's still alive, but she gets shot a ton. Like, okay, so Sergeant Murphy, Officer Murphy?
We'll just say Officer, yeah.
Officer Murphy, when he gets killed, like, all right, keep in mind, I didn't know what the deal was with this movie going into it. As I said, I thought it was a dumb action movie. I was under the impression that he was, like, the main character. It was like a Ned Stark situation, mm-hmm. where, like, oh, it's the main character, nothing bad can happen to him. And he just gets fucking destroyed
yes.
at that gang hideout. Like, annihilated. Like, I was shot. So when he's about to get killed, Nancy Allen is, like, hiding away. And they kind of cut to her kind of recovering after being shoved off this, like, walkway.
Which, by the way, Nancy Allen from Blowout,
yeah.
which we just watched. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She's, like, recovering. So I was, like, in my mind, I was, like, oh, Nancy Allen's over there. She's probably going to come in at the last second and save him. Because Officer Murphy seemed totally screwed at this moment, and then they just fucking take a shotgun to his hand, blow off his hand, and that's before the onslaught of just like shotgun, like point blank shotgun annihilation to this guy.
Like 40 shots from a shotgun, which it's weird that we just watched a couple shows in quick succession mm-hmm. or movies that had somebody's hand getting blown off with a shotgun.
Yes.
With the Fanatic.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but you're right. It's just like it's 40 shots as they're all just smiling huge and like reloading and just blasting him. Like his hand's
terrifying.
Gone, shoots his arm off. I was looking up that was one of the changes from the R-rated to the X-rated version.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the X-rated version,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if we said what streaming thing this is on. It's on a lot of different
streaming
stuff.
It's on a lot,
stuff.
But we're not sure which streaming service has the X-rated or if any of them do at all.
Right. It is. The movie is definitely on HBO. You can stream it there. It might be on Hulu, but just search for it. It is definitely on several mm-hmm. different streaming platforms, but we watched the X-rated version. But yeah, the arm flying off, that is an X-rated thing because in the theatrical version, suddenly he just doesn't have an arm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually see it get shot off
mm-hmm.
like that. But yeah, he's just getting rocked.
Oh boy. Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
Those are probably the two most violent parts of the movie is Murphy getting fucked up and Ed 209 just
annihilating that guy.
That scene is so good. Just like it is the most like just sterile boardroom and they're all just like doing the fake clapping and everything. And the one guy, Bob, is just such a good dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
I think Miguel Ferrer, I think is the character
yeah.
actor's name. He is just something about his face and the way he just kind of says lines.
He's very smarmy.
Extremely smart.
But he ends up not being as evil as the guy that's one step above him. What was the name of that character?
Dick. He's the one who's like conniving to take over the company.
He's actually working with the
Boddicker
guy that killed Murphy.
Yeah, the dad from that 70s show.
But yeah, I was just thinking, like, can you imagine being in that situation? I know this is a movie and it's a ridiculous movie situation, but being in a gang hideout. Like, honestly, they were dumb because they saw they followed this van filled with criminals that just robbed a bank into their hideout. They're probably surrounded by firearms in their hideout, the place they know the best.
Yeah.
There's just these two police officers going there. That was dumb of them to go in there.
It was a bold choice.
It was incredibly stupid.
And they're going into like the very like 80s bad guy hideout of just like, it's just a factory. It's a rundown, like abandoned factory
right.
that like every action movie bad stuff happens in.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, they called for backup, but because this corporation now owns the police force, backup is not as prompt as it should be.
Right.
But nonetheless, they did just rob a bank. It's like, come on, in this version of Detroit, there's horrible crime happening constantly. I feel like a bank robbery would probably be on like the low end of things you should be concerned with, right?
Yeah. Also, the bad guys that are robbing the banks are the most cartoon, which I love. Like, these characters are not subtle.
Mm-hmm.
They are just like cackling, you know, super villain.
Pure evil.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the one guy, like, basically throws Nancy Allen off this, like, walkway and just, like,
mm-hmm.
laughs at her and shoots at her and stuff. They're all just, like, taking great joy in, like, murdering people.
They're evil and really dumb too, like that guy with the terrible hair.
Yes. Yeah, that guy's great. Oh boy, we'll get to what happens to that guy.
Yeah,
that's some fun stuff.
Oh my gosh, that seems good.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, like, I just alluded to it, but, like, this version of Detroit, it's kind of set in the somewhat near future. Did it say a year? I don't remember
if it says a year.
There's just horrible crime happening constantly. And I can't imagine being working out, like, in a, like, retail-type capacity or, like, a gas station convenience store kind of thing, because you'd just be a sitting duck. I mean, every day I feel like you'd have to contend with someone wanting to kill you.
Yeah, it's just rampant lawlessness.
Yeah, at one point in the movie, the Boedeker's gang, Boedeker's gang, they just have this like military grade rocket launcher. Yes. That they're just like shooting every which way, like with impunity, consequences whatsoever.
Movie theaters and parked cars and just laughing. Hey, check this out.
Yeah, like a kid would play with a BB gun and an empty can of beer. These guys are just shooting at cars and buildings and like just like laughing. And it's just like everyday life in Detroit, I guess.
I can get away with this. It's like jaywalking.
Yeah.
It is set in the future, but it really doesn't go overboard with the future stuff.
Right.
I feel like a lot of movies set in the future are just super duper like, you know, we talk about, like, you and I talk about Blade Runner being so good at this, where it's like, hey, yeah, it's the future, but it seems like a realistic future. It's not people wearing, like, tinfoil stuff and a bunch of, like, bleep bloop robots everywhere. Like, this feels, like, realistic, especially for, like, an 80s vision of the future.
Yeah, it's got to be tough when you want to set a movie in the future. But if you're not, like, if you don't go super hard on it, like, with an all encompassing like idea or concept of what the world's going to look like they did in Blade Runner, right? Which it requires an incredible amount of like, you know, design and you know, being able to create like the matte paintings and the miniatures and just like there's probably a tremendous amount of money that goes into something like that.
Yeah.
Versus a more grounded, like realistic, like just everything turned up to 11 version of society.
Yeah.
Where there are certain aspects, mainly in like how people behave, that you could tell, like, okay, society took a wrong turn, corporations are in charge, but it doesn't, like, wallop you over the head with it.
Yeah, it's very just kind of dystopian. It's not, like, full-on, like, robot sci-fi stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wondered in it, like, at some point, was society alerted to the fact that there would be robot cops, like, suddenly roaming the streets? Because every time somebody sees, like, somebody will be, like, robbing a gas station and RoboCop walks in, and everyone, when they first see him, is like, what the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if it's like, oh, there wasn't, like, a news bulletin, like, oh, you know, you'll see these guys on the streets.
Well, it seems like RoboCop himself was kind of like the first of what would be a line of RoboCops, like kind of an experiment.
Yeah, as like Ed 209 was too. Like there were prototypes of like security force that would roam.
Yeah, because this company had just bought the police force essentially.
Yeah.
So they're prototyping, you know, different technologies and stuff and ways they can make money by, I guess, mass creating a police force out of, you know, the remains of fallen police officers.
It's a pretty dark movie.
It's really dark, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the parts where obviously the violence, like we said, is really over the top. There's a lot of like comic relief and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But there are moments where you see the RoboCop kind of contending with, you know, his mortality or like what remains of it, because it's not just like, oh, they just pasted his face on a robot's body. Like, he still has shreds of the person that he was and, like, vague flashes of his memories and everything like that. Like, they couldn't wipe him completely clean because it's not like his brain was a hard drive. His, like, brain has, you know, and there are certain things that happen to you, like, little pushes that just make you who you are, that you can't remove from yourself. You know what I mean? And he has these flashbacks, and when he's reminded of himself and his name by Nancy Allen's character, like, that kind of made him realize, like, you know, I don't think he would have the capacity to be like, oh, this is wrong, but just seeing him struggle with, you know, the loss of his identity, I guess.
Yeah, like, there's a pretty good scene where he's going through his old home, mm-hmm. and BC finds his name in, like, a computer database, and he's like, oh, who was I? And he goes home, and there's a line where he says, like, I remember them, but I can't feel them, or I feel them, but I can't remember them.
Right, right.
And, like, all this stuff, it doesn't beat you over the head with it. He's just kind of, like, going through the home. I don't know why they're trying to sell the home with, like, pictures, like, still sitting there and stuff, but, like, he's picking him up and having flashes of his wife and son, and his son really, like, the spinny gun thing.
Right.
Like, it's...
I imagine it would, like... Obviously, RoboCop, it's not based on a true story, but I imagine it would be similar to how, like, do you ever have that thing where it's, like, something feels so familiar, but you can't put your finger on why? Like, I feel like it would be about that, but it would be about the most important things in your life.
It's, something's eluding you that you know you should know.
Right.
It's been a long time since I saw Get Out, but wasn't that a similar concept of, like, they would basically put in this fake brain, but, like, then there's this tiny little sliver of what you used to be that's still conscious behind that?
Yeah, it seems like, for in Get Out, the people that had this horrible experiment done on them, like, they were watching the world from the sunken place where it was like they were watching it on TV and they couldn't control themselves, but they were still there within them, but they just had no control over anything.
Which is some kind of a similar thing here where it's like, you know, part of Murphy is still there, that humanity is still there, even though this exterior, this horrible thing has been done to him.
Yeah, and something like that, like, I mean, as someone, again, who thought it was just a dumb action movie, like, I never would have expected that it would be dealing with that. And even though it does have a lot of action-packed moments and shootouts, I think it's more of a movie that's, like, you know, addressing that kind of thing, like a person's place in the midst of all this privatization and stuff like that. It's really more about that than the big bombastic action scenes.
Yeah, what a... awesome achievement to be able to put this out and, like, have a decent budget and, like, for it to be a success while it's actually presenting some pretty complicated things in such an interesting but, like, easy to follow way.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. We were actually just talking about this before the podcast that, like, I wasn't alive when this movie came out and you were incredibly young. But I can't imagine how they marketed this movie because, I mean, it'd probably be easy to just be like, oh, this is a fun action movie. But then would people who go to see that then be disappointed? You know what I mean? It'd be tough to market.
Well, when I was a kid, I remember seeing ads because I was like 3 when this one came out. But I vaguely remember like commercials for the sequels. And in my head, it was always just like, oh, yeah, this is like the silly action sci-fi robot cop series, which I think that's what 2 and 3 might have been. I think 2 and 3 might have just totally missed the point.
Okay.
You know? I'm not sure. I have not seen them. I think I saw 2, but I don't remember much. But I think those were what you thought RoboCop was. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, whenever I saw RoboCop depicted in trailers or video games, they would do like RoboCop versus Terminator games and stuff like that. I think I got the versions of that IP that didn't quite get what made the first one special.
Right.
So this kind of came as a surprise to me at just how smart and how good this was.
Totally.
Yeah. I got to mention the Boddicker, the dad from that 70s show. Mm-hmm. He is just straight up a Bill Hader character.
Are so many times where, like, we looked at each other and, like, not only in his voice, but his mannerisms and, honestly, the way he looks, too. He's definitely that genre of appearance.
And where, that accent, which I can't place.
Yeah, it's I totally agree that it's so Bill Hader.
Yeah, just the line like, oh, can you fly, Bobby? It's all very, very Bill Hader. Like, to the point where I want to search and see if anyone's brought that up to him on, like, a late night interview. Or I feel like there should have been an SNL sketch where they did, like, a RoboCop parody with him or something. It's so good.
Yeah.
RoboCop drives a Ford Taurus, which I find funny.
Naturally.
Which his Taurus is on display in Branson, Missouri. Also funny to me. Don't know why it's there. One of my favorite parts of the movie has to be when he shoots a guy in the dick and then says, your move, creep, to the next guy. That's really good. Yeah, I also made a note of just, yeah, that stop motion on Ed 209 I loved. And I love that he just can't handle stairs.
Right.
It's like when Razor was a puppy and he was just like looking at the stairs. There's like a long scene of him just like, I don't know if I can I? Yep. And then he just eats shit. And he's like writhing and screaming.
He's squealing like a pig.
Yeah, it's weird.
It was cool and terrifying. Like, can you imagine like this thing making these crazy pig noises and just like walking slowly downstairs, like, oh, God.
Yeah, RoboCop just doing the, like, Homer into the bushes, like, all right, see ya. And then I love how they just have the idea of, like, let's just keep them on the ground floor. They'll just patrol outside the building.
Right.
And RoboCop just fucks them up. loved the ending. Really loved the ending of RoboCop going into the boardroom. And, like, because we see the directives or the priorities, you know, where it's like, oh, it's uphold the law, protect the citizens, whatever. We see that in his, like, Terminator vision.
Right.
But then there's the secret fourth one that the bad guy, Dick, put into place.
Which we learn is, like, protect the company's interests at all times.
You know, you can't attack, like, a senior staff or something. And so he holds the actual CEO, Dick holds the CEO, like, hostage.
Right.
He's like, I'll blow his brains out. I'll take this place over. You know, you can't attack me. He thinks he's got this trump card. But this awesome scene of the CEO going, Dick, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that instantly basically just, like, takes off the safety for Ed. It's RoboCop.
RoboCop.
Yeah, and so RoboCop can just smoke him.
Right.
And then, I just love a good bad guy death where he fought, like, the Hans Gruber, just like, you're just falling off a fucking building.
That
fuck
was
you.
Awesome.
The MacGruber, fuck you, dude. Like, right. It's just dies super
it's great
bad.
Stop motion falling. And then, but also right after that, the CEO, I forgot the name of the CEO, but he's like, oh, what's your name, kid, to RoboCop? And RoboCop's like, it's Murphy.
Yeah.
So he's kind of reclaiming part of his identity, too.
Yeah. And then he says Murphy and smiles, and it just, boom, RoboCop on the screen.
It's
We don't have to see him reuniting with his family.
Yeah.
We don't see, I thought we might get some scene where Nancy Allen's getting, like, built into Lady RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, he's like, Murphy, RoboCop.
Yeah, it was great. And also, I love what they did with Nancy Allen, because I know Nancy Allen in the 80s and stuff, like, she was in a lot of Brian De Palma films. We just mentioned how we saw her in Blowout.
Yeah.
And she was kind of this, like, it girl, like this heartthrob.
Huh.
This, would you regard women as heartthrobs?
It's more usually hear it as, like, a Leif Garrett or Justin Bieber.
I guess the it girl, I guess the girl of the moment or whatever.
Sure.
So she was this, you know, highly, you know, considered an extremely beautiful woman. But they didn't play into the sexuality at all. In fact, the director had her cut her hair, like, as short as possible in an effort to, like, desexualize her. And, you know, going into it thinking it would be in some ways like a traditional action movie, I figured that her and RoboCop were going to fall in love or some stupid shit like that. And I'm so glad that they didn't go there with this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been so contrived.
I think it would have really cheapened the ending if it did do, like, a traditional, like, oh, he's in love, or oh, he's back with his family, or oh, they made him a human again,
that
thing. It's kind of like how Hollywood wanted to take Blade Runner and do that narration to make it have a more traditional ending originally. And it's like, no, you ruined it.
Right.
But, like, the way RoboCop ends is like, oh, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect ending to a movie.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great movie. I see why they did sequels, but it's unfortunate that they felt the need to.
It's some producer probably just saw dollar signs in the look and, like, oh, kids are going to think this RoboCop's cool, and just, like, totally missing the point.
Right.
I love this breed of sci-fi action movie.
Same.
Really, it's kind of in the Terminator mold, honestly, or even Blade Runner in a way, where it's sci-fi, it's got elements of action and things in it, but then it's like there is a cool sci-fi heart to it.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider Blade Runner an action movie at all? I really
actually
wouldn't.
Not really. No, there's really not much action. There's, like, the pursuit at the end, and that's more of a noir thriller. Thriller might even be a stretch.
I love Blade Runner.
Blade Runner's real good. Blade Runner had a really good new Blade Runner. RoboCop, I heard, was kind of a mediocre
Was a remake, wasn't it?
I guess, remake, but Blade Runner was a sequel.
2049 was quite good.
It's awesome. Loved it. I don't really have any interest in seeing the 2014 RoboCop.
Oh, neither do I. Why would we? This did a perfectly fine job.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that you liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah, because I remember having that thought when you kind of wrote it off originally, being like, I don't think you know what this is. And, like, I didn't really know.
Yeah.
But I remember saying something like, I think this might be smart.
I feel foolish.
No, I mean, why would you know that?
It seems like
a goofy movie.
It was, and it was great. It was very smart. I loved it. It was the perfect mix. Because I also love crazy, bombastic action movies. But when they do have something they're trying to say and, like, a level of, you know, intellect to it, it makes it so much better for me.
And a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this movie's got it all.
It's got it all.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'd buy that for a dollar. Right? There we go. There's Bonk's natural laughs. There it is. I got one. Got one out of you. Oh, you ruined it. Hey.
What?
We should thank folks.
Thank you, folks.
Yes. Thanks to the folks listening to the show. And an extra special thank you to our patrons on Patreon.com.
Ooh, the patrons, they're good people.
Yes, the Patreon.com/paintingthestream. Don't do the Patreon.com, even though I just said that. It's Patreon.com/paintingthestream.
Is Earth the Patreon?
Yep, there we go. So you can go there. We got a simple one, I was about to say one
tier.
I almost said $5 a month, but that's too many numbers in a row. we have a single $5 a month tier. Mm-hmm. Gets you an ad-free version of the podcast each and every week.
And what an ad-free version it is.
It is. It's without ads, as advertised.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know what I just did. Also, you'll get your episodes a day early. We put them up on Saturday for the patrons instead of Sunday. Mm-hmm. for the rest of the folks out there.
What a perk!
And there you go. It's a perk. So you get a couple perks there. We also, if you want to come in and leave some comments and stuff, we get in there and,
please do.
And chat with the folks when they jump in. It's a fun group of people. We like our patrons a lot.
They're all great.
But another thing that you get
is
you get your own custom Bonku.
A Bonku?
It's a Bonku written by Bonk herself for you.
Well, I have a very special Bonku this week.
Oh, yeah?
It's for our friend Malik.
Oh, Malik.
He's a great guy. He's very active in our, he always comments on our posts and everything.
He does.
He's been a long time listener.
Long time. He's emailed us several times. Just a nice, nice dude. I like chatting with
him. We appreciate
him
so much.
Yes.
And Malik, I would write you a Bonku every week if I could, but I have rules that I must obey. So with that in mind, here is your Bonku. Given enough time, Malik could possess the man, bending his weak will.
Whoa. Malik is a powerful man.
He is.
Wow. There you go, Malik.
He can manipulate people with wild mind rays.
Wow. That's his power.
Yep.
It's on the skill tree.
It's on the skill tree. He has to have like a conversation. Once you exchange enough words with him, then he's able to. It's like that quirk in My Hero Academia that one guy has. But once you advance the skill tree enough, he doesn't even have to say anything to you. You just make eye contact and then it's like you're at his mercy.
Wow, that quick, huh?
It's dangerous, but he's a respectable man. He has integrity and he doesn't abuse his power.
Well, Malik, I'm glad you use your considerable power for good. And thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Also, if anybody wants to give us comments, suggestions, feedback, you can follow us at PanTheStream on Twitter. You can email us at PantingTheStream@gmail.com. Hey, if you want to be extra special nice, you can go to the old Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star there.
Ooh.
Let the folks know that you're enjoying the show.
Let them know about it.
Yeah, thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thanks, Tom Monda. Shout out to my brother who recently performed on Broadway.
Yeah.
The actual Broadway, playing guitar. We're so proud of him and for all he does, and we're very grateful for this amazing theme song that he wrote us. So thank you, Tommy.
Thank you so much, Tom.
We love you.
Yes. And thanks to all you listening. Thanks to the patrons. Thanks to Razor for being a good dog down there.
He was a great boy today.
He was. Bonk, thank you so much for being you.
Thank you, sweetie. Thanks for being you and those adorable cheeks.
Oh.
Oh, God, I love those cheeks.
Oh, boy. They can't see him at home.
You
got no proof. You got no proof. All right.
They can feel them.
Well, that's it for this week's Painting the Stream. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back next week.
Bye.